Hello, everybody, and welcome back to an all-new, fresh episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. So wonderful to be back here in the booth today. How is everybody doing out there? I wish I could hear back from you. That is partly the reason why I would love to get more into streaming so that I can actually have live interaction with people like you. It'd be so fun to have I don't know if you guys know the online, the streamer, the Needle Drop. Controversial as he may appear, it's basically, first off, he looks just like me. But it's also the kind of setup that I would want where you have like just a simple screen with a nice background, some cool lighting, and then you have the shared screen of what you see and what the audience sees, the shared audio. If I play something, you hear it. It's like very, very interactive. You have the chat, like the interaction between the followers threading through. So there's always a conversation going. Just like when I live stream TikTok, but a bit more just like group-oriented. And I really like that. That really appeals to me. And I would love to eventually turn Artsy Fartsy Immigrants into a more of an interactive sort of stream group thing. And then, you know, there's a lot of fun sort of improvised random things that happen in those scenarios, which you can be clipped out and turned into really great short-form content. So bada bing and bada boom. That's what I would love to do. Actually, my next big investment, I feel very happy that I can even say, like, to even be at a place where I can realistically think about something like this. My next investment is definitely going to be a new laptop. This bad boy right here, this big old juicy monster that I have been working with for years, and I mean years, it's finally just time, you know. It's time to say goodbye, Old Faithful here. I think I bought Old Faithful here something like 11 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, which is, in computer terms, it's ancient. That's dinosaur level. That, like, archaeologists would be brushing this out of a burnt down Apple store. You know what I mean? Like that's an archaeological phenomenon. You know what I mean? This bad boy. And I've had him taken to shops. I've had his charger port replaced. I've had his, you know, entire system cleaned out and swiped and brushed and vacuumed, all at this extremely overpriced Mac cleaning shop. Nothing makes you feel like you've gone back in time than needing to go into a store like that in person. I am at a place in my life where I much more prefer to not interact with strangers and to just order something new. But for many, 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 many years, I was not able to afford anything like that. So I had to go get the corrections. And also, it's like if the product is relatively new enough, you don't want to just like replace it. But yeah, I remember going to the shop in Munich and just straight up just getting this bad boy rebooted a couple different times, overpriced. But still, then I had my machine, you know, and he still works. You know, the thing is, Old Faithful's still chugging along. I can't lie and just say like, oh, but you know, the issues are just so dominant that I can barely get my work done. I'm getting the work done. The only thing is, now the technology available to me through this machine has become completely limited now. Like, I can't progress to the stage I want to be working at because the machine is just too old. Like, for example, I have talked about on this show before trying to update my camera system so that I could do, you know, a Zoom call, for example, or a live recording like on Twitch with my DSLR, with my 60D camera here. And this computer, I have to thank Benjamin Hoff because he put me in on this on the day of my live show in January. Actually, he set me up with this a little beautiful piece of tech called CamLink. And what this bad boy can do is it can plug USB right into your laptop. And the other part here, this HDMI, can go right into the this EOS feature from the 60D. This all sounds like tech jargon, even to me. But basically, this little USB thing lets the camera plug into your computer. And there's an app that comes along with this. And it allows a simpler method, technologically speaking, for the... you know, the Twitch camera system to use the nice camera. And that's all I wanted to do. And I got everything I needed. It wasn't too expensive. Put everything together. And literally just my computer doesn't offer the update of its like, you know, the system update can't go high enough to be able to use the product. So now I've got everything I need, but my computer's too old. And now I've got to reboot it, basically. And boy, ain't they expensive. Boy, oh boy, ain't they expensive. Not the most joyful search for the wallet. Especially the ones that I'm interested in. No, but the thing is, a new computer is expensive no matter what. You're going to be looking at least, you know, if you want like a decent computer at all, I'd say you're going to always be looking at, you know, at least €1,000, you know, for a new computer. I'm just looking at the bad boy. Let me get signed in here. I'm trying to look at the one that I was very, very interested in. Of course, now in this moment is when my password doesn't work. Whoop-de-freaking-doodaloo. Is it going to work this one? Does not. I got sent a code. My God, I'm so bad at this. Basically, the new... Oh, no. Did it work? Dynasticheheights code. O2. Okay. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Oh, there it is right there. Okay, so it did work. Sorry about that. Anyway. Oh, boy. So I'm looking at... God, I hate to even bring this up. I'm currently looking at, now if there's any computer guys out there who I'm about to go through kind of what I'm looking for, what I need to continue to make my business, what I need to continue to grow my business would be a new computer. The thing is, I want a laptop because I travel a lot and I need to be able to do my work from the road. I can't quite afford a new desktop and a new laptop, so I'm going to have to go laptop. The laptop is the only computer I have. The laptop's the only computer I need right now. And when I get a new, when I get a new batch of cash, maybe I do want a new desktop so I can have a new editing bay and way what you have. Not, I don't know. I want more CPU. I've talked about it before that I want to get into gaming. So to do that, I would definitely need to get probably a Windows PC that can chug out CPU like a jet engine. But here we go. I'm looking at an Apple 2023 MacBook Pro laptop M3 Pro chip with 12-core CPU, 18-core GPU, don't know what that means, 14.2-inch liquid retina XDR display, 18GB shared memory, 1TB SSD storage, and works with iPhone in the color space black. Gotta say, looks pretty cool. M3 Pro chip, pretty dope. 1080p FaceTime HD camera, 3 microphones and studio quality. You know, it's got, okay, so let's see what kind of charging ports we got here. We got the MagSafe, that's a couple of Thunderbolts. Oh, it still takes old school headphones. That's kind of cool. I don't know why that appeals to me. But I guess being on a plane, and if I had my Sennheiser headphones, well, there you go, boys. I need to get like some recording equipment sponsors. You know what I mean? Back in the day, I used to do videos for Toman. I should have just absolutely taken advantage of that and been like, don't pay me. give me equipment. But I didn't have any other job at the time, so needed that. But you know what? Tolman messed up. We have not discussed how much Tolman messed up. They dropped the diggity ball on your old boy, JP. I didn't have a fraction of the followers I have now. And they didn't believe in me. They didn't let me try new things. Did I tell them many, many times that this long-form content is not my strong suit? And did I pitch them 6 different original ideas for short-form TikToks and Instagram Reels? Why, yes, I did. Did I tell them that what I was doing is not my strength and I could be better used to create things that are growing my audience? Take a look at how I'm growing my own audience. Did they listen? No. 9-9. They did not. They did not listen. And we ended up grinding our heads against a wall with me doing something I wasn't good at, paying money to an editor because I couldn't do it myself, creating enormously long stretches of content that took hours to record alone, and trying somehow to send just gigs of footage over that was recorded on my phone. Ugh. Horrible. Can't do that stuff alone. What you can do on your own is shoot short form content. They're so stupid because I still love their app and everything. And I just bought a new microphone from them like 4 days ago. It hasn't come in yet, but I got a new mic. I'm excited to see what that's going to sound like on the next episode. I don't think they're stupid, but I do think they made a mistake. And would I let them come back to me if, you know what? Money talks, pal. If Tolman came back and they said, you can either have X amount of money in our online shop per month that you can buy, you know, thing like you can get stuff from us for up to a certain limited amount. Cha-ching, sign me up, buddy. Love you guys. I always knew we'd be a great team. If the money was right, like cash in pocket. Hey, guys, long time no see, old pals. But probably that's not going to happen. I did see that they still follow me on Instagram. I don't know if that's just out of courtesy or not, but almost every single decision they made with working with me was the wrong one. Just also guidance-wise, like they did take any advice. Not that I'm like a master marketer or something, but like what I have grown is because I'm doing it a certain way. And I kept advising them that I should just do it this way. It's working for me. At the time, though, I had like less than half of the followers that they have. And probably they just didn't, you know, I think a company like that, they have to go through so many approvals before they ever get, you know, the final say, that you could have someone who has some common sense and it just never gets greenlit at the top. That happens a lot, too. But I don't really remember how Tolman came up, but this computer is pretty pricey. Let me put that back in euro. I just realized I had it set to dollar. Doesn't make it a lot better. So this computer, and the reason I'm looking at this, I will does going to silver make it cheaper? It does not. It makes it more expensive. That's insane. The reason I'm looking at this, for people who do know what this stuff means, the M3 Pro chip, 12-core CPU, 18-core GPU, the 18 gig shared memory, the terabyte SSD. The reason I'm looking at this is because I want a supercomputer. And until I get a desktop that's most likely going to be like Windows software to be able to like run seamless streaming where I can, you know, I've talked about it before. There's a separate thing. There's like separate goals, right? Like I want that here at my desk, eventually I have, you know, like this insane CPU engine just running with a crazy graphics card. I want a nice monitor. I have an okay monitor now, but I want maybe two monitors, like a really nice setup so that I can come into the room, press a few buttons, and there on Twitch and live on YouTube and whatever else, I have a clean, nice stream going, and I can play on Steam. I can play. We can say, hey guys, I've got 2 hours tonight. Let's do a poll. You can choose the game. I'll buy the game. We'll play it. Interactions, fun. People can donate gifts. They can become like, you know, super fans where they have like first say on things and get some mods in the chat. Like let's get some mods in the chat. Get some mods in the chat. That's I'm literally writing that down as the title of the show because it's the stupidest thing I could have said. But that's the lingo. That's the lingo, boys and girls. Sorry, grandma, grandpa. Mods in the chat. Moderators in the conversation section of the audience section of the stream. Anyway, to keep the bad people out. I want that. However, I also want to have a super duper laptop. I want a laptop that can handle all the... It needs to be new enough. You know, it needs to be new enough. I wonder if paying, well, it looks, it's pretty expensive. I wonder if looking at this makes more sense to jump up a year to the 2024 MacBook Pro. But the thing is, I don't even know if this, does every year have one? I guess every year has one. Sorry for the sniff. I wonder, I think I landed on this after a little bit of research, basically finding out that, like, if I were on the road and I was doing some recording in a hotel room or something, like on this tour, and I wanted to, you know, set up a stream or, you know, to you know, this would allow me to basically game and do some streaming and to do my recordings and to basically launch rockets. Like, I think this thing is like a mega computer. Probably someone will tell me, whoever's listening, probably someone will tell me if this is a yay or nay, but it's got nearly 5,000 reviews and it's almost a full 5 stars. So it looks pretty good. I wonder if I even need all this stuff for what I want to do, but I just love the having the option. If things get heavier and more complicated in the next year or two, that I can be like, well, my computer can handle it. Can yours? Oh God. But yeah, I'm looking at a new compute. And I'm itching for it. Yeah, this bad boy I'm working on now. This guy's just chugging along. So that'll be my next big investment for sure. Guys, Mother's Day is coming right up around the corner, and I'm curious when my mother will get her little surprise. It should be there by the time this recording comes out. No, it won't. I think it's the day of or the day after. There's something. Well, I know she listens to this. Hi, Mom. So I don't want to spoil too much. But yeah, this Mother's Day is coming up. So make sure you guys who are, you know, lucky enough to not only still have your mom around, but lucky enough to have a good relationship with your moms, make sure to say a little something, you know, give a little, you know, even just if it's the least you can do, you can send a text that's like, hey, Mom, happy Mother's Day. I love you. It just, you know, goes a long way. And, we all have some nice mothers. People have wives. People have wives who are mothers. And you got to do something nice, man. You got to do something nice. I think that Mother's Day in Germany is actually the same Mother's Day in the States. But the Father's Day is different. From what I understand, the day this comes out, which is a public holiday in Bavaria, because Bavaria has 10,000 public holidays, that it will be Father's Day as well. But then the Father's Day that I know is June 16th, which is also my dad's birthday. Is that right? Let me just check. I'm not full of shit. Yeah, no, it's not my dad's birthday. My dad's birthday is the 19th. Which is, ironically, that's Juneteenth, which, if you know, you know. But Yeah, dad's birthday's on this. No, his. Sorry. Father's Day in America is the 16th, but this Thursday is a public holiday, which I guess is Germany's Father's Day? I don't really know. I'm not really understanding this. I don't know. But yeah. Go kiss your mama, who do you think you would be without your mother? Huh? Do you think you'd be walking around here with your gummy worms in your pockets throwing cash at people if you didn't have your mama? Wash your mouth out with soap, eh? You're disrespecting your mama, eh? Don't disrespect your mother, huh? Pay your dues, you scrappy little rat fink. Hey, go kiss your mother. You kiss your mother with that mouth? Hey, you kiss your mother with that mouth? I'm squinting like Robert De Niro, but I sound like a bad Joe Pesci impersonator. You kiss your mother with that mouth? Hey, you freaking tinker like a fukiduku. You kiss your mother with that mouth? Why? Tell me. Funny how? Anyway, I can't not do the Robert De Niro squint. Tell me I'm funny. Funny how? I think you can hear the squint. You can hear it in the frown. Funny how? You think I'm funny? Like a clown? Like, ha-ha funny? Anyway, speaking of laughter, I watched a comedy last night, and you know what? I was very pleasantly surprised and can recommend a modern comedy. I feel like that is the hardest genre to pull off right now. I'm not going to sound like, you know, I do not mean that because it's like, you can't say anything these days. Like, woke culture has killed comedy. Like, no, I don't think of it. I'm not saying it like that. I just think it's really hard to get a decent comedy script going these days. It's very often the case that a comedy has to be wrapped up into an action film. Like, there's so many. Who was this? Adam Devine was talking about this. He's a comedic master. Like, Adam Devine's very, very funny. But he released a comedy he wanted to be a part of last year's cast in a comedy. I'm not sure if he had much of a hand in the rest of it, but he was talking about how it was with Pierce Brosnan. I think it was like a story about meeting, like, you know, your girlfriend's parents. You know, maybe they got engaged and he's going to meet the parents or something. And it's, they're like spies, you know, simple kind of goofy setup, like, oh, your dad's a spy. So, if, you know, Pierce Brosnan got to play sort of like a Bond-style character. And anyway, you know, insanity ensued, as you might imagine. But he did an interview where he said that it's very, very, very hard to get comedies off the ground these days. And that they almost always have to be a split genre, like a comedy action to guarantee more of a general appeal. And he's right. You just don't see a lot of nice modern comedies anymore that aren't, you know, jokes slid in between exploding cars, you know, or I think the Marvel people just butchered lots of different things for lots of different people for a long time. And now it kind of feels like the bubbles burst a little bit. But anyway, there's a new comedy on Amazon, which I can recommend, called Ricky Stenicki. I think I gave it like, conversationally, I think I gave it like almost an 8 out of 10, which is so crazy for a comedy these days for me. Like, it's very, very hard to, like, I watched, you know, this Sydney Sweeney, Glenn Powell romantic comedy, Anyone But You, and hated it so much that I almost lost my love for Sydney Sweeney. That's not true, Sydney. I would never give up on you. I love you. She has a great drama out of HBO called Reality, based on a woman who used to work for the, I think it's the CIA or something. No, the National Information, and whatever Snowden used to work for, and she leaked information, but true story. Anyway, she's great in that. She's a great actress. But she has a new production company, and she produced this comedy called Anyone But You. It's a classic rom-com, and it sucks. It's horrible. Unwatchable. I could not believe we sat through that whole thing. Just, you know, poorly written characters. No one has the right motivation. No one's making, like, choices that, like, make any sense. They try to set up things with people who just, characters just show up, and they're like, okay, what? There's a history? It's a terrible script. Terrible script. However, Ricky Stenicki had to talk about this. Have to give praise to one of my current favorite comedic people and stand-up comics, Andrew Santino. You might have seen his face in things before. He is one of the main cast members of the HBO show Dave, a great, great comedy from Dave Bird, Lil Dicky, and Andrew Santino plays his friend and manager on the show. He's been in other movies. He's been in other TV shows. He stays busy, this guy, and he's a great stand-up comic. He has a special out on Netflix. I think it's called Cheeseburger, something like that. I liked it a lot. And of course, he has two very popular podcasts. He has one called Whiskey Ginger, where he is the single host, and he hosts an interview with comedians, celebrities, and he's great. And then the other show is co-hosted, he and Bobby Lee, this other comedian who I like a lot. And they you know, basically just riff on each other, and they're just very funny and goofy for an hour. So it's great. I love it. Anyway, Andrew Santino, I really like him, and I'm trying to think of, like, what his vibe is. He's just got this witty, I have a thing for when sarcastic people are really good at being sarcastic and holding their ground, like doubling down on being really dry and sarcastic. And he's just great at that. And very quick on his feet, very fast thinker, viciously redheaded. He's a little Bill Burrish, maybe, but not as loud. He's just, like, viciously redheaded. And Ricky Stenicki, Andrew Santino is my favorite out of that cast, but he's by far not, like, the leading name. I mean, the lead actor, the main name of the movie is John Cena and Zac Efron. For those who don't know anything about the movie, it's a pretty funny premise. It could have gone terribly wrong, but the premise actually was pretty cool. I think they handled it well. Zac Efron, Andrew Santino, and their third friend, who I feel so racist not knowing the name of because he's the only black guy in the movie, basically. But these three friends grow up, and as life goes on and they make these mistakes, this is all, like, in the trailer. This isn't really, like, spoiling anything. But the premise of the movie is that these three friends grow up, and every time someone does something wrong, oh, no, we, you know, did this bad thing, and oh, no, we dropped that or spilled that or broke that or, you know, whatever, something they do bad as kids and teens, they always blame it on this imaginary fourth friend in the group named Ricky Stenicki. There's a funny opening scene, how they come up with the name and stuff and the premise of it. And yeah, over the years, now they're all in their, you know, mid-30s. And over the years, they have always used this guy as an example to also get out of things they don't want to do. You can say, oh, you know, you're going to have this birthday party for your boss. Your cousin's going to be there too. And then they get a fake phone call from Ricky Stenicki, who says, oh, I'm really sick. I need you to come, be with me in these trying times. Oh, of course, honey, sorry, I can't be there. So now you get it. That's the idea. Well, at some point, for interesting reasons, they have to show people that this guy exists to save their lie, to protect themselves. And because of a funny way, they meet this John Cena guy, and, you know, I might be the least, I might be like, what's the way to describe this English-wise? There is no one I am less interested seeing on screen ever than John Cena. He seems like someone who kind of snuck in or like peer pressured people to be an actor. I don't understand how he is in everything, but he's really great in this. And he really gives it his all, and he really disappears into this Ricky Stenicki guy. And, you know, I gotta say, he was really funny. And I, after like 3 minutes, after his like introduction scene, I just kind of forgot that I don't like him, which goes a long way. I think if you can forget you don't like an actor because they're not being the actor, they're being their character, that's a good compliment, I think. So, shout out as if he's going to ever shout out. What am I, who do I think I am shouting out John Cena? Anyway, I shout out John Cena, shout out Zac Efron. I know you boys are listening. Good movie dogs. Anyway, but Ricky Stenicki was very funny. And of course it's not perfect by any means, but I found myself literally laughing out loud several different times and for several different reasons. So if you like just a good old-fashioned comedy, it's created directed by one of the Farrelly brothers, Peter Farrelly. He was the guy that did, like, you know, the Farrelly brothers did like Dumb and Dumber, Shallow Hal, Me, Myself, and Irene, these just like classic, unbelievable 90s comedies. And one of the brothers directed this one. And it's great. I just really funny side characters. You know, yeah, it was really good. So the only thing to try and get over the fact is that Zac Efron looks like he's wearing like a rubber Hulk mask. From the nose down, he looks like he's got a constant allergic reaction to everything in the room because his face is absolutely insane looking since he had his monstrously botched reconstructive jaw surgery. The rumor is that he like broke his jaw and then they had to fix it, but it's very clearly just that he wanted to like have like face surgery to put in like a stronger jawline or whatever. He looks like a monster. I don't know if you've ever seen, I think it's in Shrek 2 where, or no, is it in the first Shrek? Where Shrek takes like a potion to become human and you have this kind of weird, like slightly handsome, but sort of like butchy bearded man version of Shrek. You can literally do a side-by-side of Zac Efron with a beard now and a, like a plaid shirt with a t-shirt under it. And you type in Google, like human Shrek, Zac Efron, it will be up there side by side. And they look really similar. They look crazy. Zac Efron looks crazy, but you know, who am I to judge? Whatever you do, you go get your face stitched up. You're an actor and your face is your bank account, but go put in some jaw implants and get Botox in your lips. Who cares? Whatever. You're only in your 30s. Don't you know you're already old? And yeah, great comedy. If you can get past Zac Efron's extremely strange looking inhuman face, then you're going to have a great time. John Cena did great. Gotta give credit where credit is due, my people. Gotta give credit where credit is due, my people. I sound like a white guy at like an NAACP speech, like a rally that he got sucked into by accident. Hello, my people. I'm here to support you from the ground up, my homies. I love basketball. No, I didn't mean it like that. just a couple of reminders. I think it's going to be announced basically like this week. I have to check out the venue tomorrow, but pretty much it's all in stone. But on June 3rd of this year, that's next month, people. Next month, June 3rd, there are going to be 300 free seats. That's right, people. Seated. There's chairs. You can fart and relax your dogs as much as you want. 300 free seats at the America House here in Munich. Perfectly named, by the way, for this. where I will be giving people another opportunity to see my sold-out performance from January. I did a one-hour stand-up comedy special that I'm working on now, like tweaking and fixing a few jokes, making things a bit stronger. And I will be performing this special once again in partnership with Bayerischer Rundfunk, with the BR, in celebration of the 75th year of public broadcasting here in Bavaria, which is pretty cool. Might even be like all of Germany. I'm not sure, but definitely 75 years of Bavaria and Bavarian broadcasting. And at the America House, and I'm very honored to be in that position. 300 free seats, free tickets. So if you have, if you guys are based around Munich and you did not get a chance to see that show in January, then yeah, let's go. Let's go. Let's get your butts in those seats. Let's get your friends in those seats. It's free. And yeah, I'm really excited to do that. There was actually a couple of funny questions that I got from... So those who do know, let me see if it's still in the show notes. It might not be in the show notes anymore. Well, you can always see it. Like in the show notes, I have a link to my link tree. And in the link tree is where you can always see this Capriccio video. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Basically, like, after I did my... One second, let me just highlight this thing. I was almost going to say one second ago. So, in my show notes, there... is a link to a link tree, and in this link tree is the free link to watch this BR Capriccio piece. It was like a 6-minute TV piece about me and my comedy and this performance I did in January. And the journalist who did that piece on me is contacting me again because... He wants to do some promotion for this, new performance at the America House. I'm sorry, I don't know why it took me. I have no idea why it took me that long to get that information out. I apologize deeply. I am so sorry it took that long to get that much information out of me. I don't know why. I don't know how. I was on a good roll there. I wasn't dribbling off. I wasn't in a bad place. I wasn't tired. I hadn't yawned. I wasn't excusing myself at the top of the show being like, yo, I'm really sorry, guys. I'm really tired this afternoon and I didn't know I was going to be doing this, blah, blah, blah. I was doing good. And then I rambled off like that. That's just no excuse. There's no excuse. Jordan, you're professional. Get your shit together. You're professional. You're professional. Get your shit together. Jordan, professional. Okay, sorry. So, anyway, the journalist has been contacting me because he wants to promote the new show. So he sent me some questions and I was doing some recording for them yesterday, but... I didn't finish him. Here's a question that they had. I thought we could look at it. What do you think is the funniest quirk that Germans have? Let me count the ways. My answer originally, and I think I might keep it, is just that Germans believe that opening a window, getting some fresh air, is the cure for all illnesses and or diseases and or disabilities, okay? Germans believe that cracking a window, Stoßlüften, they believe getting a room full of fresh air, no matter how snowy, cold, or rainy it might be, is the cure for everything. There's no modern medicine. They don't even bother with the doctor. Excuse you, get a scarf, make some ginger tea, and open up the window. That is... such a quirk that Germans have. I was trying to think if anything else really stood out right here in the moment to me, like a real, goofy thing. The window thing is really nuts. Or they also believe that like if you get sick or if you're in a bad mood or something, maybe a bad mood does make sense, but if you're sick, like you have a flu, I've heard people tell other people that it's because they don't get outside enough, that like they didn't hike enough, which is bonkers. Like if you have knee pain or like depression or something, like being outside will, you know, getting some fresh air, getting on your, you know, walking around a little bit, that will be good for you. But I think it's really crazy to be like, you know, it's because you don't do this enough. You don't go hiking enough. How would I describe Germans? Well, there's one explanation that I put into my live show. I also put it in this Capriccio piece. It's basically like Germans are like a breakfast egg made of steel. And it's just like the super hard shell. And when you finally get it open, there's just this goo inside. And yeah, they're just gooey like the rest of us. But that shell is steel, and it takes years to crack it. But then once you've cracked it, then they're your friends forever. How has your exposure to the tics and quirks of the Germans changed your views of the USA? I think punctuality has become a big thing, more and more of a thing for me than ever. Like being on time for something, I think it's really rude if you're super late without a heads up. Super late in general, rude. Late without a heads up at all, super rude. I don't have a problem with it. Like, there's a few friends I have who are like always a little late. And these are friends who I've grown to adjust to their schedule. So I know if I say be somewhere, if I want them to be somewhere at 7, I'll say be there at like 6:30, 6:40. And then I know they'll show up kind of around the time that I want. And that's no problem, because there's a few people you just always excuse because they're your friend, and it's not like a huge issue. But I have friends back in the States that, like, my God, you know, will say like, let's meet there at lunch at noon. And then I'll get a message at like 12:30 saying like, just going to hop in the shower real quick and then I'll head over. And I'm like, I'm done. I've eaten. I want to go now, and you're still at home. Like, you just never came, you know? I remember someone being like, Jordan, like, relax. Like, he's, you know, they're on the way. And I've been like, no. I don't have to relax. I said, would you like to meet somewhere at this time? And they said, yes. And then I expect them to be there at that time. It's just common courtesy. I wouldn't even say that's tics and quirks. It's just one of the good things that Germans have taught me. Okay. Be on time. Everyone has one life. Everyone has one single life that they are living. And it's very important that people can get every single drop of juice squeezed out of that life, because they only get the one. Okay. Then it's over. And if you are forcing somebody against their will to wait for you to get an avocado toast at the local hyper-priced hipster brunch place, that is your ticket to hell, my friend. You should get every minute that you make a friend wait, you should get 1 minute off your lifespan. That's my thing. What was your biggest challenge for you to transform your Instagram humor into a comedy show? Oh man, that was definitely a big challenge. That was definitely a really, really big challenge. Because the thing is, on stage, it's you know, it's the same issue that we really wanted to try and steer clear with doing this TV show idea, which is like, the jokes on Instagram are this very, very digestible, you know, 30 seconds to a minute. It's just these, like, a simple premise and a simple payoff. And same as with going into a TV show, you need to be able to provide enough content and, like, meaning and character and story to what you're presenting, so that people don't, you know, maybe their expectations are that you're going to go up and just kind of do what your videos are, but in person. But I have such an extremely high degree of respect for stand-up comedians and for the stand-up comedy as an art form, if you want to call it an art form, or just what it is. Like, stand-up comedy as it is, generally speaking, is something I respect a lot, and I didn't want to disrespect it by not putting the work in, because it means a lot to me to be able to be up there and to be able to do that. So to take it, I knew that I needed to take a lot of the same themes from the videos to the stage, because that's what people like. People are paying a ticket to see me because they like the videos. So I can't go up there and do nothing unrelated to the videos. And I also wouldn't want to, because that is kind of what I'm joking about. And it, you know, that is how I usually think about things. So I knew I needed to make at least a big section of it always connecting to my German experience. So the challenge was weaving in stories about other things that can always connect back to someone's German experience. Maybe that's how I should have phrased it. But like, I wanted to tell stories about my childhood and stories about my obesity and stories about my college experience and stories about previous jobs I had and things like that. And the challenge was going like, okay, I really want to tell this story. This story is super funny and I think it has a good payoff, but I can't tell these two stories in a row because they have nothing to do with anything in Germany. It'll just be like, I need to, you know, if it works, it works. But the challenge was saying like, okay, I have this great story that, you know, that I've segued in from this German thing. And now that I have this story, how can I pay it off and go back into something German? Like, here's a story about how I da-da-da-da-da-da when I was in high school. Not like the Germans do here, because they do this and that. So you always have sort of it's just always weaving back and forth between stories I want to tell. I want to give the people a broadened understanding of my life, and I want to show some range. I want to like explore more than just the German stuff, but I do have to weave in the German things, because that is what they're also paying to see. I want to get to a point where I can weave enough in and out that I could do different kinds of shows. It could be I want people to be a fan of just the comedy itself and not just a fan of German comedy, if that makes sense. Like, I want to weave in enough where it's like, that guy's just funny, and not, oh, that guy's funny with his German stuff. It's like, I want to get in both and be able to show more range and show more diversity and things like that. So that was a very long-winded answer, and I didn't even send it over to this guy because I have to answer it in German, which I don't even know how to. I have to like Google Translate. Maybe I can listen back to this and then Google Translate the most succinct line of it and then just send it over to him. But guys, you're going to have to wish me luck today, because I'm about to go to the immigration office here in Munich, which is basically hell on earth. The KVR, as they say, that's the initials of the building. That's the thing. I think I talked about it on the interview with Christina P, that it has like half of one star and it's just like the lowest rated thing. Thankfully, I have a ticket number already. I don't have to bring much of anything. I have like my passport. I'm getting my visa renewed. They're a little bit nicer when you've already got your visa, thankfully, but I'm very nervous to be stuck into a conversation with them where I don't really understand, what they need or want. And I just hope that I can get in and get out. I'm wondering, let me see if I looked at this thing recently, if I need money, if I need kizash, if I need some quizash here, if I need some quizzy quash. There's my appointment time. It shouldn't be too long. I've got the floor and the area room and my appointment number. I need my passport. I need a biometric photograph, and I need this email. No earlier than 30 minutes before the agreed time. Don't stand in the queue, but go straight to this. Come directly to the area. If your social benefits. For the application of an electronic residence title, we have booked the following binding appointment for you. Please bring this stuff. Entrance. It just repeats itself again. Okay. I needed to save this email so that I would feel confident flying back into Germany. You know, the funny thing was, leaving Germany to go to the United States was when I ran into the drama. Leaving Germany. Now, I have a valid American passport, and I was going to America. So they shouldn't have given one single diddly damn. I'm allowed to fly home. I have an American passport and I'm leaving Germany. So why would you need to check my visa for Germany? Why would that matter? They gave me a little like, excuse you, sir. You think, you know, you're going to have to, they gave me a lot of flack, made everybody all stressed out. Then I was allowed to fly. And then the fear was like, what if we can't get back home? And so I made an appointment and I printed out the response. Like I printed out the appointment confirmation in case, hey, look, guys, I know it's expired, but I have my visa. It just expired, but I'm renewing it here. I land in Germany, go through customs. They don't give one diddly duke about it. Passport, valid, bye. Soared through customs. Crazy. Getting into Germany, easy peasy. Getting out, bananas. Couldn't believe it. So I got to go renew that. Guys, thank you so much for listening today. Again, just as a reminder, in the show notes, there is a new link for the Hamburg tickets. The Karsten Janke, my booking agency's link, sold out. So there's a few more tickets, like less than 30 on the Eventim website here. So if you or someone in your friend group is like around the Hamburg area and you'd like to see the show before it sells out, please get your tickets now, send it to a friend, send it to anybody you think might be interested in going, before they are gone, because they will be gone, I'm guessing by the end of the month, at least. So yes, shout out to John Cena and go watch Ricky Stenicki. It's got some dirty, it's got some penis humor. So if you are okay with that, then you know the rest of it's pretty dang funny. Mother's Day is coming up, so make sure to send your mom some love. And yes, the ticket links. Let me see if there's anything else I needed to announce. Yeah, I told you June 3rd is going to be the America House performance. So make sure to stay up to date. My Instagram at Jordan Prince. I'm going to be posting about that when we do the official announcement. We're going to get the merch store set up soon. And yeah, babies, thanks for listening. I love you guys. And I'll be back next week, probably with a new microphone. Bye bye. Look out, baby. The Saints are coming through. And it's all over. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prince und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.